Welcome, folks, to the Goose Gossip Podcast. I'm your host, Levi Gerke. Thank you for tuning in. I have on a lot of great guests that come onto the show. Also have an Instagram and Facebook. Just look up the Goose Gossip Podcast. Helps you stay updated with new guest speakers as well as some great content. This podcast is brought to you by the following. Molt Gear. For 16 years, Molt Gear has been bringing the hunt hard, hunt alive philosophy with their lineup of calls, instructional material, and apparel. Each call is tuned by the owner of three-time World Live Goose Calling Champion Scott Trinan, based in the heart of Goose Country, Rochester, Minnesota. Check them out at www.moltgear.com. Dakota Decoy Company, established in 2007. Dakota Decoy Company has built and grown the company to offer a full lineup of top-quality decoys, blinds, and accessories that you, the demanding hunter, not only expects, but deserves. Located in Vermilion, South Dakota, along the Missouri River. Or check them out on www.dakotadecoy.com. Premium gunning decoys for demanding hunters. Mallard Bay is an Airbnb-style marketplace for discovering and booking guided hunting and fishing adventures. The Mallard Bay platform was built by sportsmen for sportsmen, and their mission is to help expand access to affordable and successful hunting by connecting you with verified outfitters across the U.S. You can browse trips and prices by state or species, select the dates you'd like to go, message outfitters, and make your deposit with a credit card. Fastest and easiest way to book a guided trip with a verified outfitter, go to www.mallardbay.com. Other Guys Outfitters, home to one of the biggest concentrations of waterfowl in the United States. Great people, great hunting. Reach out to them on their Instagram and message them to book your hunt now, or you will not want to miss out on their hunts next year. Bourbon Media prides themselves in being the leader in all things digital marketing for the outdoors industry. Websites, social media management, paid advertising, SEO, logo and design, and content creations. Focus more on your business and let the professionals at Bourbon Media increase your company's digital profits. Contact them on Instagram or Facebook at Bourbon Media, or reach out to them on their website at bourbon-media.com. Webfoot Waterfowl Co., the most comfortable and trustworthy lanyards you can buy. Many options available from color to size. Head over to their website, www.webfootwaterfowl.com. As well, you can find them on Instagram. Go check out their product. I have several of their lanyards. Love every single one I have. K2 Coolers, established in 2011, with a commitment to design a quality cooler that would give years of reliable service at very affordable prices. Located in Broussard, Louisiana, check them out at www.k2-coolers. When you think of K2 Coolers, think real value, real cold. Big thank you out to all my listeners for enjoying this podcast as much as I do. It is great hearing from all the great feedback from all my listeners. Sit back and enjoy this episode. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Goose Gossip Podcast. The special guest on the line today is Brendan Gallagher. Brendan, how does it go, my man?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just fine and dandy, you know, chilling. Where are you at?
Still up in Montana right now.
Montana. You know, that's a state where I have not stepped foot in, and it's kind of a sickening part in my life right now because there's so many mountains there. I bet you there's so many good people. What do you like the most about Montana?
I mean, the mountains are home, man. There's pretty much endless opportunity stuff you can do here, whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, sightseeing. I mean, we got Yellowstone National Park really close to me. We got Glacier National Park. So it's just kind of like a outdoor person's paradise, man.
Absolutely. Like, what do you do more of? More hunting in the Montana side or more fishing? Because I mean, obviously you travel here in and here out with photography and videography and everything of that nature, but when you're in Montana, is it kind of like an off season place that you hold yourself at?
Yeah, I do like most of the hunting I do is waterfowl, just kind of starting to get into some big game stuff, but I do a ton of fishing during the spring and summer. Bozeman's a great place for that. Pretty much all across Montana, you can fish rivers, lakes, all that kind of stuff. There's just no end in sight of what you can do. And I mean, there's so much public land here, and we have really great water access laws, so you can really access a ton of water, especially for fishing. But yeah, I do a ton of that in the spring and summer, but a ton of turkey hunting as well.
Yeah, turkey hunting's right around the corner. You gonna do some?
Yeah, I'm gonna be out of town for Montana's opener, so
Oh
have to come
no.
back, and I know I'm gonna have to come back and get to it.
Yeah, I'm going this weekend. When this publishes, it won't be this correlating weekend. I'm so excited. I went and bought a turkey call, like a little mouth call. I think it was like a zinc something. Oh my gosh, like I've just been messing with it, watching like videos and everything, just trying to learn my own way and everything. And it's just like, it's kind of exciting, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so much variety in the call market, especially for turkey. I mean, you have diaphragms, push buttons, box calls, tons of stuff.
There's push buttons. That sounds like my kind of gig.
Yeah, push button call.
Those ones where you got to make like a circle or whatever, those ones seem so logistically easy, and then it just seems like it's just completely hard.
Yeah, that's a pot call. Pot calls aren't too bad. I mean, people are really picky with those. There's so many different types of materials you can have, like slate and aluminum and stuff like that. But
Right.
yeah, I kind of like mouth calls.
So to waterfowl, the sides of waterfowl, how many states did you travel to this year?
Let's see. I went to California, Wyoming, hunted Montana, hunted Oklahoma. And then I also went to Canada early in the season.
And everybody be going to Canada nowadays, I swear.
Yeah, I think there was definitely a disconnect this season because of like the COVID stuff, which is kind
Right.
of gone now. But apparently they're just letting you just have to have a vaccine. They don't have any of the like get a test 72 hours before you show up and that kind of stuff. But who knows if they'll keep the vaccine in for much longer.
You plan on going back there this season then? Like
Yeah,
2022 season?
hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. I want to get back up there.
Because they start in September, don't they?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, they have like that early season.
Because there's just something so terrific about Canada, and there's a reason why everybody just keeps on going up there. And can you like speak on that a little bit about why it's like where everybody is nature, like in their mind as an outdoorsman, they like all want to go to Canada. And like for somebody that's been there, what's like one of the biggest things that you enjoyed the most about being in Canada?
Yeah, I haven't been there like a whole ton, outside of work shooting photos, but it's crazy. I mean, it's so small, in population, but there's so much land. There's a ton of birds. I mean, it really doesn't compare to like kind of some of the videos you see on social media and the big spins we get down in the States and the big migration videos. But in Canada, it's just like times 10. I mean, it's really like some of those towns up there, where a lot of the hunting is out of. They're really like small towns. It's like small town Canada, like small town USA, but it's terrific. I mean, the people up there are super awesome. A lot of the outfitters are really awesome too. So yeah, it's just, I mean, it looks a lot like the States. I mean, it's not like you're really going too far. It's not like you're going out of Mexico where it's a completely different environment.
Yeah.
There's a lot more water up there than some of the places down in the States, but it's just like something completely different. I mean, there's a reason they call it a waterfowler's paradise because I mean the hunting is just it's incredible, man. I mean, there's
Yeah.
not enough words to speak on it.
I know it's just like I want to hear more about it each time, and I'm sure a lot of other people that have never like went up there like are so intrigued about like what happens in Canada, because it's all about like timing and money if you can get up to Canada, because like I still haven't even got my passport, and that's something that I need to get. But like Canada just seems like that part where it's like I said, it's timing and money, and then once it comes around, that's like you better go, like you better go. But
Yeah.
photography, man, has it been a part of your life since you were a little one, or when did the camera shutter button start getting near your hand then?
I think I kind of started it when I was probably in like middle school. We have a cabin in western Montana, and I was always just kind of off doing my own thing away from the family and friends. And I just kind of wanted to show them what I saw or what I was up to. And one of the things that I think really sparked photography for me was I am nearsighted. I think it's nearsighted. I can't see far. So I have glasses. And I remember when I like put glasses on for the first time in like elementary school, especially being in Montana, like being able to look and see like trees out on the mountains, going down to like my local park or pond or whatever, and just being able to see everything so clear and see nature so clear. I think that just really kind of sparked like my interest in the outdoors and wanting to capture that, because for so long I wasn't really kind of able to see that really in
Right.
perfect light. So
What was some of the first photos that you ever took with your camera? Like landscape, people, animals?
I think it was probably, I mean, they're probably all garbage.
No, they're
They're
probably
probably all
like
really bad.
museum type photos, I bet.
Yeah. Probably like some landscape stuff. I was really interested with like shallow depth of field stuff when I first got into photography, like being able to get up close to stuff and see it really crisp and detailed in a photo.
Right.
I thought that was super cool, but yeah, a lot of like landscape and then kind of like wildlife stuff.
Some of the stuff that people take for like very descriptive photos, like you're just talking about, it's just, the money that you guys spend on glass to get like wildlife photography is, it's a lot. And it almost frustrates me because like I want to do it so bad, but then another part of me is like, I don't know if that's a theme that, I want to overtake because like, you got to almost designate a lot of your money to purchase glass for that and a lot of time because it's not just like, oh, I'm going to go out and drive around. Like, you got to spend maybe countless days or weekends to trying to find that almost like that special photo.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, glass is one of the most important things. I mean, you can shoot really nice photos on an older kind of entry-level camera with really nice glass on it. And especially like being in Montana, we have the national parks here, Glacier and Yellowstone. There's a ton of people that do wildlife photography in the parks, and something that I've done to kind of like not spend like $6,000 to $8,000 on like a 600 millimeter, 500 millimeter lens is there's, if you have like a local camera shop, a lot of times they do rentals. So that's something that's super easy for me to do. Even if I'm not going to the park, I can just kind of go to my camera shop, rent like a really nice lens. It's usually around like 45, maybe $50 a day. And yeah, you can kind of test out some of those nicer lenses and equipment.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people do that. Even like so like they'll rent it through like I think I websites online, lens glass places on websites, and they'll like rent it and they'll ship it to you, and then you try it out, and then either you can ship it back or probably pay in full price, so that way you're not paying full price for a camera lens that maybe you truly don't know that you're probably going to use or that isn't fit for what you're trying to do, So I don't know. Those like standalone lenses where it's just like set to 1 millimeter, do you have a lot of those in your arsenal?
Primes, yeah. I actually just got one of my first primes. I got a 35 millimeter to shoot some kind of video stuff and some wide angle stuff. I like using zooms a lot. I have a 1-400 Sigma, 7200 Sony, and a 24-105 Sony. I shoot in so many different situations, and I see so many different shots when I'm on shoots or out hunting or whatever I might be doing, that a zoom is really nice.
Right.
Primes make really nice, crisp, clean photos. They're typically a little bit more expensive, especially when you start getting into kind of those larger focal lengths. Or like with Sony, the G Master series, those are super expensive. But I mean, prime lenses they're super sweet. I'm really excited to test out this 35 millimeter.
Right. Do you do a lot of photography on the off season then, like throughout the summer and spring and everything like that?
Yeah. So I try and do like some landscape stuff. I'm not super big into that. I just don't have like, I don't think I have the right eye for it. I do a ton of fishing photography, fly fishing and stuff like that. Turkey hunting, I go like forage wild edibles like mushrooms and stuff like that. So I take photos doing that. Yeah, I just try and keep myself going on taking photos and keep learning. I mean, that's the only way you're going to get better at shooting photos and being a photographer is taking more photos.
Do you ever like test your limits on creativity?
Yeah, I try and do like, I mean, there's stuff you see on social media or something you might see another photographer do that I try and replicate. So I think that's kind of where a lot of the creativity right now is, especially because we have social media and pretty much it's run by photos and videos. So it's kind of run by photographers and videographers and stuff like that. So you get a lot of exposure to a lot of different things. So I draw like a lot of my creativity from that. And I try and like not always emulate it because I'm like, oh, this is the newest, coolest trick you can do with your camera. And I want to be part of that like click. I just want to like try and figure it out and figure out kind of push the limits almost of my own camera. I have two different cameras, so they do sort of different things. They're both Sonys, Sony A7 II and A7 III. So they're not like the newest, hottest cameras, but yeah, I definitely try and kind of push their abilities and stuff like that.
So do you ever like say like always like trying to push skill levels to its fullest capability with the body that you have, like the camera body that you do have? Like you're always trying to just push that limit, and do you think that limit's already pushed and you're just running with the capability that the camera has, and what you do with it is what it withholds?
I mean, I think that the camera is kind of like one, an extension of a photographer's eye and their brain.
Absolutely.
And then two, it's a tool. I mean, with, let me get my words here. With creativity, I think it comes more from the person than like the ability of your camera. I think there's a ton of cool things you can do with old cameras and new cameras. And it just kind of depends on how creative you are and what you want to do with the camera. I mean, I remember I started on like a Rebel series Canon, made the switch to Sony because I felt like I had kind of pushed that camera body to its limits. But like in my own creative space, it was more just so that I had a better tool to kind of achieve some of the different things that I wanted to get out of my images. And I think that goes for a lot of photographers. They see these as tools and they're not limited to, oh, I only have this camera body and this lens. I think if a good photographer says, I have this camera body and this lens, here's five different things I think I can do with it. And let me think of maybe some more things I can do with it.
Right. And like you're saying, it's an extension of the, the photographer's eye, because it's an art form however you look at it. And perception is a lot when it comes to taking a photo. Like, put yourself in not the normal eye's like standpoint. I've always tried to, like, the photographer's always going to be in that weird, awkward position. You're like, why is he crawling on the ground like an army guy? And then you get the photos from him and you're like, shit, I shouldn't have thought that, because that's a pretty cool photo. Or why is he hiding behind that tree? Or why is he on top of the pickup? Just stuff like that that separates the normal eye in a sense. And there's a lot of people that they get so frustrated right away with photography, and that's fine, but you should always look at it as just try different, instead of just standing there and holding that camera at your normal eye height. Like, try just going somewhere else with it. Try dumping it under the ground, or I don't know, anything,
Yeah, gotta get that low angle, man. That's super popular right now. I think like low angle photography is super cool. Drones have kind of really
Ooh,
opened up
yeah.
the gate of photography with the top down photography. But yeah, I've definitely been with some outfitters and some guides. I'm like down on the ground, like crawling on my belly, and they're like, "What in the hell are you doing?"
Yeah, I
I'm like, "Dude,
bet.
I'm like, I gotta get the shot, man. I see it. I have to get it. So let me do my thing."
Do you ever like see a shot and then it's a moment of a shot that you can't like recreate because of animal or people or anything of that nature where it just happened? You have the camera in your hands or it's right next to you and you're fondling with it, trying to get it up, and then the creativity just ends and it's kind of frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've had that happen where it's mainly I don't like to like tell people what to do a lot of the time.
Right.
I like to do like a lot of environmental photography, which is environmental is a photography term for just kind of like capturing the natural scene and what's actually happening besides like staging it. So I like to shoot photos a lot like that. I definitely have situations where if I would have told somebody like, "Hey, don't move, like stop," I could have got the shot that I was seeing, but
Right.
that definitely happens a lot of times where like I'm messing with my settings and I'm not quick enough and I miss a shot. But I just kind of chalk those up to my own mistake and, keep looking for that next shot.
So, like, settings have a lot to do with photography and all of that nature. What's like one of the biggest settings that you would say that pushes you to the next level? Something that you can almost set and get very performed at, and it will help your pictures a lot.
I mean, it's really situational, especially like with waterfowl photography.
Absolutely.
You're chasing light a lot of the times, and you're dealing with a lot of changing light and a lot of changing white balance. So situations like that, I think some of the settings that help me is I like to shoot a lot of times on auto white balance and sometimes auto ISO. Those can kind of save me from making mistakes sometimes. If I have the last time I shot on my camera, I had my white balance set for sunlight. Now I'm shooting like a cloudy day or something like that. And you
Right.
can change that stuff in post-processing. But I like to try and nail my photos in camera. I don't think there's really any one setting that I would say like sets me apart from any photographer. I think with a lot of action stuff, I mean, around 1/500th of a second to 1/1000th of a second gets you a lot of that kind of crisp, clean stop of motion.
Can you
That's
have
kind of like,
too high of a shutter?
I think you can, yeah. When you're like messing with your exposure, they call it like the exposure triangle, so ISO, aperture, and shutter speed.
Yeah.
I like to think about my photos in depth of field a lot of times, so I kind of set my aperture first, and then I kind of base my ISO and shutter speed off of that. If I'm shooting action and I know I want to stop motion, I'll set it on 500th or higher, just to stop like human motion. Birds is like waterfowl and stuff like that. You want to use like 1/1000th if you want like a, you don't want any movement in the wings or anything like that. As far as like having too high of a shutter speed, I mean, I don't really use anything over maybe a 1/1000th. I just don't like get into situations where I need it.
Right.
But you can definitely like shoot in situations where you might need higher than that. If you're not really aware of kind of like the exposure triangle and you're like first shooting on manual, you might overcompensate some of your settings. And like, especially if you're using a mirrorless because they show you like all of the your exposure on the back of the LCD, you
Or
might
even
just
through the viewfinder.
overcompensate. Yeah, even through the viewfinder. I mean, DSLRs, like, I think it's less of a problem, but you if you're especially if you're a beginner, I think you might just overcompensate. That's kind of really the only situation I see you shooting too high of a shutter speed. I don't really know what it would do if you shot like human motion on a 4/1000th of a second. I just don't think you'd like really need to do that or action shots or anything like that.
Right. And see, I started with a DSLR and now I have a mirrorless, and I would say one of the biggest thing that an upcharge of the mirrorless is that you get live action of like your exposure of what's in that camera, like when you're in the viewfinder, because that way it saves so much time and headache when you, like you take it with a picture with a DSLR, you got to look at your LCD screen to see how the picture turned out. And in the moment of taking a picture with a mirrorless, it is right there. Like you can watch your exposure throughout the whole thing. Cause it's, you know, obviously that's the whole name of the mirrorless, but I thought that that was like a huge upgrade for myself going from a DSLR to a mirrorless.
Yeah. That's really nice that you get a kind of like track your exposure, like a live view tracking your exposure. Some of those DSLRs, they have live view, so you can kind of like mess with your settings and be able to see it, but you can't really look through the eyepiece that well because you're trying to expose in the back of your LCD. I think one of the biggest perks of mirrorless, especially for like wildlife photography and stuff like that, is you have a silent shutter because technically there is no shutter in a mirrorless camera.
Right.
So you can turn off all the noise on your camera and you're taking photos and there's no noise coming from the camera. So
I see.
Super helpful with wildlife photography.
I haven't used my like electronic shutter where like there's no shutter coming from it just because like that shutter noise is like so nice.
It's satisfying, man.
It is one of the most satisfying things ever. But I have like a lot of people that reach out to me about camera work and I answer back fully. And if anybody ever needs help with anything, like I always tell them, I mean, I can help you to my fullest capability. I've only been doing this stuff for a year, but a lot of people say like the photos I take and I'm like, no, they're not compared to a lot of other people's. And like, that's the sad part about photography is you always compare your pictures or your photos to other people's. But I mean, I'm sure you get the questions a lot too, where it's like, they're like, what kind of camera body you have? Like what lens do you have? It all revolves around whatever you can afford. Like you can go buy the newest of the new, like, yeah, if it works, if you can afford it, perfect. Yeah. It's going to run you up good. But I mean, you can go buy a Rebel and be sitting pretty for a while, you know, like a long time.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, it's a tool. And like, if you don't know how to use the newest, nicest brand new camera.
Right. Exactly.
It's like driving a stick shift and not knowing how to drive stick. So
yeah, like you can have the nicest Camaro in town that has 800 horsepower, but it's manual and you've never driven a manual vehicle before. And you're like, what the fuck am I doing? You know? And this is like same thing with a camera. You can have the Cadillac of all cameras, but there's going to be so many buttons that you're so afraid of. And then you just like, oh, screw it. There's an auto button. It's going to do it all for me. And it's like, if you learn on auto, then you're not going to be able to take like the next step photos because the camera's doing all the work for you. In all reality, like if you need to take that, I don't know, like you just, if you need to take that low light photo, that high exposure photo, whatever it may be, you're never going to know how to drop your ISO or gain your ISO or drop your exposure, this and that and the other. So that's why, you know, buying a lower end camera gets you into the glimpse of what photography is. And if you don't like it, you didn't spend $8,000 to $10,000 or even $2,000 into a camera. You spent maybe $1,000 into a camera and lens, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you gotta kind of trust the process and kind of almost fall in love with the process that,
yes,
you know, you might not have like the equipment that you want right now, but you shouldn't kind of let that dictate your creativity. I mean, I remember shooting on like a Canon Rebel and just like shooting goofy pictures of like random stuff, like old, my dad has like a ton of old like antique stuff, and like shooting that in like different light and being so psyched on it. And then like now looking back on it, I'm like, those probably aren't like the best photos, but I wasn't comparing myself to anyone else in those moments. And I was super stoked on what I was doing. I think that's kind of just like part of the mentality that you have to have is not comparing yourself to other people, and just because that can really stifle kind of like your creativity, especially when like, say you shoot some photos, you're shooting on a lower end camera, just kind of like something that's, like you said, affordable for your budget.
Right.
And then you go look at, you know, Instagram and there's all these incredible photos. I mean, just because you're not there yet doesn't mean that you can't get there. And you just kind of have to trust the process and keep shooting and hopefully get better at it.
Yeah, because so I just purchased a new camera just here recently, and right now I'm holding my Rebel, and it's going to turn into a shelf ornament, but I'm going to hold on to this thing for a long time. Like
Yeah.
every time I come and do a podcast, it's just sitting here right next to me. But it's unique seeing something that once you start off with it, like you're like, wow, like, you know, like, oh, wow, this thing is like so much smaller than the other one, or this one's just so much like made less out of stuff, but it's like, it's the reason that I started to love it, you know. And that's the other thing, like I said, like everything that you're saying too, it's like do what you can with something and then like upscale. Like everything that you do in life, you should always just upscale. You don't have to start at the top of the mountain. I mean, hikers don't just jetpack to the top and take a selfie out top of the mountain and say, yep, just hike this Mount Everest, you know, like no, that shit doesn't happen. Like the process, like I love how you're saying, you know, trust the process or respect the process, because I always have this little saying in my head that says, life is a process, respect the process. And if you go throughout that whole process, you learn so much about yourself and the things that you're doing, you know, if it's either tools, cameras, fishing poles, guns, anything, absolutely anything. If you learn the process, you're going to be so much better once you do get to that achievement of being the top of the line, you know. And if you don't reach it, then go to the next thing. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the world is like kind of fast tracked a lot of the experience and kind of work that goes into any sort of craft, whether that's filmmaking, photos, anything. There's so much pressure, I think, in society and especially with social media to be kind of perfect and to come into the game at the top level. I think that's
Right.
kind of disheartening to a lot of people. To kind of see that stuff, but like we were saying, you just have to like trust your own abilities, trust that like if this is something that you want to pursue, whatever it is, even if it's not shooting photos, whatever that might be, just trust the process and you know put in the work and put in the time and the results will happen.
What do you enjoy the most about photography?
I think capturing moments that either tell a story, whether that's one image or multiple images kind of strung together in a series that tell a story. Like I said, I like shooting kind of environmental, I guess, portraits, or that's just kind of like my style of shooting. I like to direct people around. I don't like to tell them what to do. I just kind of like to shoot what is happening at the current moment. And I think that hunting with people that are like really close to me, getting to shoot photos with different outfitters across the country has really kind of opened my eyes to like what I really want to shoot. And I mean, for the most part, that's outdoor and hunting content. But something that like when I'm really proud of a photo is even if you can't get all of the story from the moment, some of my favorite photos are maybe images that only a few people were around for,
Right.
and I get to kind of dictate that story to people through images.
See, there's just a lot of different ways to go about it, like how you love it. And I love hearing the way that you're talking about how you love it, because there's always just a whole different perspective or perspective. Jeez, I can't talk right now. And how you go about thinking it is that's why the reason I ask it is because there's a million ways to think and love something, and if somebody could almost like listen to this and hear it the same way through you, they're like, maybe I do like photography. You know, that's the questions that I ask to bring maybe other inspirations to others to do it, you know, because there's a lot of things that indulge with life about doing things, you know, and if you find that niche, it's almost like it's not even hard, you know, like you're just doing
Yeah.
it then. It turns into a love rather than a gosh, I have to do it. And you know,
Yeah.
I've heard other people say, like, I'm like, like they're getting into photography or they have photography or this and that and the other, and they're like, yeah, I just do it because I have to do product shots, or you know, I'm with
Yep.
this company, and it's like, You are literally like causing yourself down a wormhole. Because if you're doing it and you don't like it and it's just for money, your creativity and like your style of shooting is going to go down so fast. And it may not. And this is just speaking retrospective, like what could happen. Could you agree to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think like some of my favorite photos aren't even the best. They don't have the best composition or the best lighting. But they help tell a story or capture a really special moment. And I think that you truly do have to, I mean, it's a well-known saying that you should do what you love. And I think if you're in it for the right reasons, then you're just going to fall more in love with it. But yeah, I can totally see how people would get a bitter taste in their mouth, especially in, like I said, this fast track world where they get thrown into something and they think that they really like it, but the work that they're doing, like maybe product shots, real estate shots, weddings. I hear tons of stuff about how people hate shooting weddings.
Really?
But it's like they're good at it and it pays a lot of money, but they hate it. So, I mean, I'm lucky enough to where I'm in a situation where I'm shooting photos of stuff that I really respect and appreciate in the hunting realm, and doing it with a ton of really awesome people that I care about.
Wedding photography? Like, it's like make it or break it. Like, it's a gamble. Like, you could be really good at photography. And it's like, where does a guy start? Have you ever done a wedding? Here, let's start with that. Have you ever done a wedding photography?
Yes and no. I wasn't, it was like a family friend thing. My fiance's stepsister was getting married and they just wanted like one part of the wedding, I think, filmed, like one announcement during the wedding.
Oh yeah.
And I ended up like trying to film a bunch of the wedding, and I got them like a 15-minute little wedding film. It was super fun to film, but I may have had too much fun at the open bar to be filming a wedding.
Yeah.
And going back and editing that, I was like, oh my God.
What did I do?
Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't a high pressure situation.
Right.
Where I was like getting paid to do anything. And they're like, we're happy with anything. I mean, just bring your camera and go and shoot some photos or shoot some videos. Like, there's this one part that we want. I'm like, okay. And then I got into it and I was like, yeah, I'll just like shoot like different parts of the wedding and make a little highlight video and then too many tequila sunrises away and made it editing quite the job.
See, here's the thing though. It's funny though, but at the same time, it's like, that's like the reflecting of, like you said, at least you weren't getting paid or something like that. And, and me and Jaden Sanchez are sitting there talking and I was like, he's like, dude, weddings and stuff like that are just like, engagement photos, like, you know, like you only get that once in your life. The once in a life photography gigs or just photography options, you know, there's a lot on the line. Like, those people are relying on you, like strictly relying on you. And it's like, you know, I think like, I really want like photography in general, like I want to do everything, absolutely everything. But it's like, what do you think? Like, if a person wants to get into like gigs for photography, for anybody listening, like, I feel like do it for free, like small scale once, and then see if you're actually at the aperture to do it, you know, like find people that like in each portfolio that you would do, you know, but not do everything for free, but I'm saying like almost build like a skill level, you know?
Yeah. You definitely want to build like your own skills and build like a portfolio. If you're trying to do, if you're trying to be like an actual photographer and make money and make it a career, you definitely want to do that. And I've definitely had my share of doing some stuff for free and, kind of learning the curve of what different shoots look like and stuff like that, whether that's, event photography or just shooting with my friends or maybe shooting product photos. And, I think, all too matter of fact, there's a lot of people that in the industry right now, especially the hunting industry, that shoot photos for product.
Right.
They'll trade photos for product. And I think like maybe once or twice as like a beginner photographer, That's like something that's okay to do. You don't want to make it a norm though, because I mean, if you're shooting product photos, somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, I have this product. I want you to shoot photos for it. I'll give you this product and you give me the photos." Well, you have to have the product to shoot the photos. So that should just already be a part of the whole deal, is that you're going to get the product and then you're going to shoot the photos of it and get paid for it.
Right. And see that there's like a fine line to that though too, is like those people, they send you that product and you use it, but you don't get them the photos they want. Like that's the sketchy part too, you know? Like I've never like really got into product shots, and I mean, like I have my sponsors and I told them like lining up, I'm like, I'm gonna take photos of your guys' stuff, and they're like, oh, you don't have to do that. I'm like, well, it's just like I'm going to, but like to the story of it, it's like being on that line, you know, like photography is one of those deals where it's like, am I like good enough? Like, is my photos good enough? You know, like, 'cause there is times where maybe you aren't gonna get, because it's not just your theme. Like the people that you're doing photos for, they might like some of your photos, but like they want it in their own way. And you have to, no pun intended, aperture yourself to that point, you know, like you have to edit their way, you have to take the photos in the theme that they want, and that's where the skill level really blossoms for a person, you know, because you can't go to a wedding. Like my kind of theme is like kind of like a more or less saturated like photos, you know, with like kind of that browner or darker theme, you know. People aren't going to want their wedding photos to look like that. They're going to want them to be vibrant and stuff like that, or even couple photos or anything like that. So it's like, or product people, they're probably not going to want these darker photos or whatever. They probably want them to be vibrant and show the true colors and be like almost like just a natural color. So it's like, it just goes back to like, if you don't know how to do it, like keep just trying and maybe take pictures of the products that you purchase and then reach out to them. Because that was one of my next following things, is like people always want to be like in the industry and like grab a camera, and it's like, do it for free first, like by purchasing their product and loving their product, or go ask an outfitter if you can just join along and take photos, and you guys can have the photos, whatever they may be, if they're trash or not or whatever, I'm not coming to shoot. Like just suggest that, or take the photos of the product that you're shooting and send them to the people that you purchase them from, and they may comment, they may not, or whatever. Like actually send them to you, or send them to them, and go from there. Because there's a lot of people that are getting into this, like you know that as well as the rest of the industry.
I think it's definitely getting saturated. Like the outdoor and hunting photography market is getting pretty saturated. I
Oh,
think you can
yeah.
do a lot of stuff on spec. Like spec work is in what you were saying, shooting. Maybe you already have the product, or maybe a buddy has it. You shoot photos and send it to the company, and maybe they like it, maybe they don't. I think there's kind of like a fine line with that, with like, I mean, don't go buy like $1,000 worth of hunting gear and expect to shoot it and then get your heart broken when they don't want the photos. But I mean, I think especially when you get established as a photographer, people will come to you for your style and for the way that you edit and the way that you compose things.
They do. They do come towards you. I hope. Just kidding.
I mean, hey, I like the way you edit, and I definitely think that there's like, you said that there was people that wouldn't want that for like their wedding or
Hey.
engagement, but I've definitely seen like, especially like Southwest weddings where there's a lot of tans and browns, like that desaturated stuff
Dude.
looks really good. So maybe you just need to go to Texas and shoot a wedding.
I'm telling you right now, if I could ever photographer or videographer like a Western, like a cowboy theme or cow, geez, like just a Western wedding, you know, whatever it may be, like ranchers and cow or anything of that nature, like those weddings, those things get rowdy, and probably like just like the things that they do would be so awesome. But yeah, I think finding a
You might
theme.
have cowboys feeding you beer.
Yeah, which is fine, because if I'm in the moment, I can handle my alcohol really well. Now, back to square one, like alcohol does take control of you really fast and you don't realize it. Like you're saying, it's so priceless that, you know, you're like, you weren't like on a gig, but you were, you know, in a sense. And
yeah.
And you got back to your computer and you're like, oh, you know, at the moment you were probably like,
man, these videos are shaky as hell.
Shit, but that's funny. I love that. That's kind of a funny story.
There's a video of the floor.
Back to the story of it though. I gotta ask, did you get them the one thing that they wanted though?
Yeah, I got them like their announcement thing, and I just kept that as like a separate video because it didn't really fit in the highlight because it had like audio and stuff, but.
That's
I got that part done.
Good deal. Good deal. See, like, back to the story, though, of, like, the saturated industry, though. Because there's always a million ways to go about things. But I think the best way to go about it is get respect from the people that you want to be with or do work for first before you start asking for money, you know? See what, you know, offer them before, like, what can I do for you? Or, here, I have some photos. You don't have to pay for them. Do whatever you want with them. Use them or not, you know? And don't bug the shit out of them, but just every once in a while, like, maybe send them some photos, send them some videos, and get your name, like, almost imprinted in their head. So that way, later on in the life, it might not be instant, but 2 years, 3 years down the road, they're like, damn, this guy keeps, like, sending us some photos, and they get better and better, and then they need someone. And they're like, this guy's always wanted to help us or come aboard, and it's like, boom, there's your connection right then and there. But it goes back to life is always wanted now. Everybody wants everything now, which I'm a hypocrite if I can sit there and spiritually talk about that. You don't need to think that way because I think that way every effing day, every day, like every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, that's a fine line too with like giving your photos away for free, because I do think that it can help you get a foot in the door. But it also kind of plays into like that saturated market thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially when there's a lot of top companies that they get a lot of their work on spec. So there's a ton of photographers that are just part of like pro programs or whatever, and they have like a lot of the products and they're just already out doing really cool things. So why would that company seek out a photographer that wants to get paid when they're getting all their stuff for free? So I think it's kind of like a
double-edged
sword.
There's
a dichotomy there. And I think that maybe like once, I mean, I don't think you need to send a company like 50 edited photos of their products that you shot and be like, hey, here's this. But I mean, it definitely plays into, I think that you can kind of stay on their radar if you do kind of like maybe send them some images, tag them and stuff. If you shoot them emails, that kind of helped me get into my job with Split Read, shooting photos. I definitely like, they were hiring for some different positions and I would just always interact with their content and, you know, kind of bug them about like, hey, you guys are in this area. I could be there and 5 hours and shoot photos. And yeah, you just kind of, it's a weird line to kind of dance when you're giving stuff away from free, because you don't want to be underselling yourself,
right,
as someone who only works for free, especially with multiple companies. And you don't want to be undercutting kind of the industry or other photographers by being just that guy who gives everything away for free.
So basically, in a great scheme of things, and as you were saying all of this, it was reflecting, like, you were playing the good side and the bad side of what I just said, and that's good, that's great, because, like, I started to, like, to back reflect on it. I was saying, like, yeah, like, what you're saying is, like, really good to, like, maybe not give away, like, a whole bunch of your stuff, because then they're like, if we, we don't need to pay this guy, he just keeps fucking sending us it. I think the great analogy of like, it could revolve on anything if you're trying to get in the industry, because obviously this is like basically made off of Waterfowl Podcast, but is like, you know, jump in the water and maybe just hope that you get scooped up by a net like a fish, you know? It really can work like that. And, you know, the industry works in mysterious ways. And, but at the same time, while you're in that water, don't just sit there. You know, you gotta push your limits to the fullest, swim around and check new stuff out, and always be just very, you know, be humble to a lot of people, because a true person goes a really far way. Because if you throw yourself a fake abyss, you might get a lot of attention, but you're going to fail hard. You're going to fail hard really fast. So that's why it's be humble and kind to anybody that crosses paths with you.
Yeah. And I definitely think that networking is one of the biggest things you can do. So like when you interact with people, you know, you want to be professional and respectable and all those kind of good things. Relationships go a long way. And I know it can get kind of cutthroat in the industry because people want to push different products and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, you just got to kind of find your lane and build a portfolio. I mean, go shoot with your friends, like go shoot photos as much as you can with whatever budget you have, whatever equipment you have. I mean, I thank my friends a lot for, I mean, letting me tag along on so many different hunts. It kind of really built my portfolio, and I don't really know that I'd be where I am today without all that photography experience, shooting stuff in the field, kind of figuring things out for myself, and then being able to build a portfolio out of that stuff.
Right, exactly. And it all revolves to life is a process, respect the process. And however you perceive that is on you. Like, it is literally on you. You can think it's the worst thing. You can think it's the best thing. I don't know. There's just, I try to like talk more like in depth about these things rather than like how to's. Because the how to's in the industry are so cutthroat. Like, it might work for one company, it might not work for the other. So if you sit here and literally tell your life story, how you got with Split Read, how you've gotten gigs with your camera, somebody's going to try to like almost mirror that reflection, and they're going to throw themselves down on a rabbit hole because it's not going to work the same, because they're, God damn it, they're not Brendan Gallagher. They don't talk like you. They don't walk like you. They don't shoot like you, you know?
Yeah.
It's the factor of like learning how you do things in life rather than like trying to do everything else like everybody else. Wow, that did that come off right? Because that just sounded like I would just said a whole bunch of the same words. Anyway.
No, that sounded good, man.
Perfect, thank you. Because sometimes I just wonder how I run this podcast and people are like, oh, this guy's an idiot. But no, like networking too. I'm very blessed because I network with a whole bunch of people. But at the same time, you know, you're not going to get off the phone and never talk to me again. Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, like, if you hold your...
You again.
Yeah, exactly. you always just kind of have to be so kind to everybody. But if you make that networking connection with a lot of people, it's going to help you so far down the road. You know, message people not asking for things, not asking for money or free stuff. Hell, just message them and see how their season went. You know, bullshit with them. And if they shortstop you on the conversation, then they weren't interested in talking to you, and that's fine. Move on to the next person. Constantly be just commenting on other people's other people's Instagram. Jeez, it's all about networking. Like, make friends with people in the industry rather than wanting free things or wanting hunts and everything. Like, it's so easy to become friends with somebody because they're like-minded. You know, I don't know. Am I running shit wrong here or what?
No, I mean, I think not everybody will like your style of photography or maybe your style of work, whatever that might be. And not everybody's for you. And I think there's a respectable way to go about that within the industry. So you're not just like blowing people off when they say they don't want to work with you or whatever. Like, you know, be respectful, but be your own person, you know, develop your skills, develop the passion and the love for photography or the craft or the work that you want to do, whatever that might be. And, you know, just keep grinding and stay hungry in the industry. I think there's a lot of opportunity in the hunting industry. It's really blown up in like the past I mean, 10 years ago was a very different scene. So I think there is like a ton of opportunity that people can chase, and there's no one right way to go about it.
Nope.
But I think for the photo and film side, definitely like loving what you do, you know, trusting in the process and just always being hungry for experience and knowledge. I mean, I might sound like I know what I'm talking about sometimes, but if I don't, then I'm gonna tell you. And because I want to be like a sponge in anything that I do, whether that's photography or hunting knowledge. You know, people are your greatest resource mm-hmm. when developing skills. That's how you get better, is you know, learning from other people, or you know, maybe developing skills on your own. But you can get a lot of knowledge from the people around you, from experience, whether that's, like you said, maybe shooting on a shoot for free. There's a ton of ways to go about it.
And like you're saying, with like interacting with people is like being able to ask questions, you know, and learning off of like almost other people, because I mean, there's a lot of people that probably don't want to like maybe talk to you and give away their secrets, but you just got to find the right people. Like I've called you not too long ago and just recently and was like, hey, how do I do this? You know, and you're like, oh, go download this and this and that and the other. And, you know, I didn't have to ask you every bits and pieces, but it's just like you can almost reach out to people and just use them as a, or not use them, but, well, yeah, use them as a resource. But, I mean, if they're a friend, they're gonna help you on the thoughts that they know, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I look up to a ton of different photographers, and I've reached out to a bunch of them. And most of them have either messaged me back or just been super helpful. Like, hey, you want to, there's some local ones. They're like, hey, you want to go grab dinner and a beer and shoot the shit about photos. I mean, most people will help you out. And a couple of those people definitely, like, I had self-doubt and was kind of doubting like my own capability and limits. And they just like shattered those, because they're like, well, why do you feel like this? Because if you're doing X, Y, and Z, then you're on the right path. You're doing the right thing. So, yeah, just don't let self-doubt and like fear of failure kind of limit you. I think that's a big one, is like, oh, I don't know if I can, you get this, maybe you get a shoot and you're just super nervous about it, or maybe you want to back out because you don't think you can deliver or whatever. You're never going to know until you go do it. And even if you fail, you'll be better for it. It's a learning experience. Failures are learning experiences. They're mm-hmm. they're nothing to get too bogged down by. And, you know, stay humble. You can get on a real high road and you're doing really good, but, you know, you want to stay humble and not think too much of yourself and stuff like that. There's a lot of talented people in the industry. There's a lot of egos in the industry, whether that's photography or hunting. There's a ton of egos. That's really accentuated with social media. And, you know, I think you just need to kind of put your head down sometimes and stay on the path, believe in yourself, and just kind of do things the right way.
I have one of the biggest egos in this industry. The biggest. Absolutely biggest. No, but I was going to say something to what you were saying. Like, oh, like you, photography, you almost get uncomfortable because there's a lot of people that don't like getting photos taken of them, and you don't know if they don't like that, you know? And it's that factor of just, if you're feeling uncomfortable about it, like, get out of that comfortability. Just go out of that comfort zone, because those kind of like out of those comfort zones, they're going to be the reason like you like rise. Like if you just keep doing things that make you comfortable, like cracking a cold one on the porch and looking at the sunrise, like, yeah, that's pretty damn easy, you know? But like, I don't know. I don't know where I was running with that, but like, jump out of your comfort zone. Don't always be the guy that shoots the same gun, or only shoots out of a layout blind, or this and that and the other. Like, just do stuff that's just so far and different and not what everybody else does. Because if you can make something that's not better, but just different from everybody, it could be the shittiest photo, like quality wise. But if it's different from everybody else's, it's going to get looked at. You know, people don't zoom in on photos and go, oh my gosh, I couldn't see the freckles on that guy's face. You know, like, no. You know what I mean? Like, geez.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot there's a lot of inspiring videos out there, like quotes. Go listen to them. Yep. You know?
Yeah, that's not my quote. I heard that on a video. But
oh, okay, yeah.
It rains true.
It rains true, yeah. When it rains, it falls or hard or whatever. Yep. You know, or pours. Yep. See, I don't even know how to say it. I think
there's a country song about that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Luke Bryant. No, I don't know. Like Luke Combs. Yeah. When it rains, it pours. Anyways, Brendan Gallagher, thank you so much for being on, my man. I really appreciate you being on. We're at an hour mark. And, you know, photography is one of those things that is so purist. Is there any last words that maybe a newcomer that's coming into it, that you can give them to divulge on the last living minutes of this podcast episode?
You know, I think just believe in yourself, do it for the right reasons. If you want to be a photographer, do it because you love it. Whatever you're shooting, whether that's hunting, product photography, whatever that might be, and get out and shoot.
Get out and shoot. That's damn right, man. That's damn good. That's a damn, you know, just get out and take photos. You know, yeah, don't be scared. It. Just fucking do it. Yeah. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it greatly. And Montana, if I see it soon, I'm going to call you, okay? And maybe you're probably not going to be there. Damn. Jeez. But hey. Well,
if you're here, you got a place to stay.
Oh, well, see, now I'm coming. The free stay, here I go, you know? No, I'm just kidding. Take it easy, man.
All right, you too.
Peace out.